If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm very excited about what God is doing in us as a people. And you know, a lot of times we can serve, we can do things so long that we forget why we do what we do. And it's so important that we realize what grace that's on your life. You know, we've been talking about the word grace. Now we will get into the unmerited favor part. The Lord has spoke to my heart about debt freedom, and so believe it or not, this is, you don't have to pour it in, just if you'll just put that in there. There you go. And plug it up if you don't mind. So if you'll recognize that grace, we understand the unmerited favor part, but there's a big part right now that I believe God's driving home, and it makes it more personal because it gives you the understanding of why is there a grace or an ability, a very specific ability on you. Everybody has a grace gift. We saw that term before, a grace gift. It has a purpose. And so here in 1 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall no dew nor rain these years except by my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan." So there's a brook that flows into the bigger river. "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, which he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Let me just point out a couple things about eating morning and evening. Now, you know, it doesn't say anything about lunchtime, okay? It just says morning and evening. You know, there's a spiritual principle about when to feed your spirit. Absolutely in the morning and absolutely in the evening before bed. Now, why do I say that? Joshua 1:8 says to meditate day and night in the Word of God, and then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So in that passage, it's telling us that our success and our prosperity is linked to what we are doing scripturally. But it's not about just one time. It's about feeding. There's a feeding going on. And so it's important that we recognize that. The next place is Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It tells us if you will meditate God's Word or feed in God's Word, think about, speak God's word day and night, back again morning and evening, then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in season. That phrase "in season" literally means perpetual. So it's not dependent on the seasons, it's perpetual. And so I've spent a lot of time in Louisiana. In Louisiana, you see those cypress trees right along the river. Now, Alabama has some of those. And those roots of those cypress trees go deep, go way down there, and hurricanes don't uproot those trees that are planted by rivers of water, okay? And so that's what the Word is telling us. So back here, the ravens brought him food and bread and meat at morning and evening. Verse 7, then it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Okay, so there was a natural circumstance that caused a natural problem, some lack. Something happened, there was no more, God sent him. He made a means of support for him, a brook for the water and the ravens for the food. But all of a sudden, that channel of resource went dry. And so that does happen, okay? Maybe. Now, I'm saying maybe because God doesn't always use your job for things, because again, you can bring your tithe from what you earn in your job, but harvest doesn't necessarily come from your job. Now, you can sow a seed, and maybe they give you a bonus, and that's a harvest, or things like that. But you can't look at your employment as the only avenue or the only channel. This week, Keys and I were believing for some things, and one of our ministry partners sent $1,000. Doesn't go to our church, And thank God for ministry partners. Amen. It's how we do what we do. All right. And so with that, man, we just bought our Belize tickets for July. You think, aren't you looking ahead? Thank God I did, because last year was close to $600. This year we spent $392 per person. And so it was a big deal. Then when we were there a couple weeks ago, we went ahead and reserved our room for the summer. And so we paid half down. I believe they want you to do half down. Belize, they don't let you just, you know, put a little verbal reservation and then later on you can cancel. They don't want you to cancel. They, you know, that's what they don't want, you know. And so we went ahead and did half down. Well, on Black Friday, they had a special for that hotel, 50% off. So I emailed them and said, look, man, I got a reservation. I got your email. I want that. And so they didn't email me back until later. And then finally, Tuesday, I get a reply. Well, that special is over now. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I replied in plenty of time. I was trying to get you to, you know. And so I called the 800 number, and they said, you know what, we'll adjust it to reflect that. And so now for a Monday through Sunday stay, we only owe $200 more. And so I'm like, praise God. But what I'm saying is stuff is getting paid for ahead of time, because we're not looking toward one avenue to pay this stuff. We're believing for partners. We're believing for other folk to jump in and come aboard and do what we do in the kingdom, other places as well. And so again, the brook dried up. And so what happens here? Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a woman who was gathering sticks, and called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she went, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. See, I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So basically, she's a widow. Now, my deal is, I'm thinking, God, why don't you get the rich person to be the support? Why don't you go ahead and get a middle-class person who's doing rather well and has extra to come in and be that person that you've ordained to take care of the prophet? Well, God's got his reasons for what he does, okay? And we know the reason on this. We can continue on and look and see that of course, he did tell her, bring for me first. Now typically, a woman a widow with just her and her boy, my reply, if I was a widow with just my son, would be, look, I love you, hope the best for you, you know, and Jesus take care of you, but did you not hear what I just said? Me and my son, I've got a kid that I'm responsible for, and I want to be a good parent and make sure that my son is taken care of. You know, if it were the Lord, I might have just said, you know what, yeah, I'll bring you a little bit, I'll give you my portion, but I got to feed my child first. Well, he said, this is by the word of the Lord. Now, not everybody has the word of the Lord, but the word of the Lord is there, all right? And it's important that we stay stirred up in our spirit so that we can have peace whenever the Lord does speak something as hard as this right here. There's been many times the Lord has spoken to us to give, and it was a hard thing because we had things we were believing for as well. As a matter of fact, several years ago from the ministry, the Lord had dealt with us to sow, I think it was $500 someplace, or $400, $400, something like that. And that's, we only had, I think we had a bill for a few hundred dollars, maybe $400, something like that. And so anyway, well, we obeyed God. We obeyed God and did it, wrote that check, that seed check. And no, it wasn't a seed check. It was to help a ministry out. And so we did that. We wrote that check. And I, you know, when we lived in Quinlan, we didn't have mail that goes to our house, so you have to go to the post office to put it in. So I went to the post office, put it in the post office, and when I went around the corner to check the P.O. box, opened it up, there was a check for $500 from somebody and for the ministry. And so not only did we have that money replaced, but we had the tithe also, and so the tithe was taken care of and it was replaced. And so alms, God replaces dollar for dollar. So again, I could have, now I'm not going to tell you that if I didn't do that, that money would have been there. You know what I'm saying? But what I would have said was, it would have hurt me. I would have been very hurt. And you know, a lot of times I judge, so I could easily judge yourself hard. I could have been under condemnation about that. Oh God, I didn't do it. And And then I would run and go do it, but it wasn't my first thing. You know what I'm saying? And so we all know Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let me read this in the basic English version. But let your first care be for his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you in addition. Now that's a basic thing. I hate to say it, but it seems like we always have something that pops up that puts us in that place where we got to make that decision. Is this first or is that first? Now here's the thing. God will speak to you about what's first. He's not going to speak to me about what's first in your life. And so that's why we are developing being led by the Spirit of God, because you can't let somebody judge you on what you do. Now again, we want to make sure that we are listening to the Holy Spirit when he says, do this first. I've had that happen before, and man, I tell you what, I've learned something. Don't think about it, just do it, because I could talk myself out of obeying the Holy Spirit. Sadly, I'm just being real honest with you, it's easy for me to talk myself out of obeying the Holy Spirit, all right? The enemy would try to convince us that focusing on our family first is not the will of God. Or pardon me, is the will of God. Focusing on family first is the will of God. Well, you want to focus on your family. Of course you want to focus on your family. But there's some other things that are in motion. I've said this before, and it goes to, I'll say it again, and the reason why is because I've not heard it said a whole lot. See, there's the call of God on your life. You have a call. And then there's the ministry God gave to you. There's ministry. Your call is to God. Your ministry is to people. And so your call to God never changes. But your ministry to people, it can and it will. There are seasons for every ministry. And so it's very important that we learn to discern, God, are you calling me to this? Or is this for you? Or am I doing it for the people? And so it's okay. It's important to realize that when there is seasons and season changes, that we know it's God. Because when we know it's God, when he's leading you to transition from one type of ministry, then you know there's something else God has for you. And that's wonderful. It's great, but we always have something going on. It's great. Family comes before ministry. But God, the call comes before family. Let me say that again. Family comes before ministry. So what I do for my family comes before what I do for people. However, my call to God comes before my family. So there are times when I will say, you know what, I'm not going to do this because it'll take time away from my family. But then all of a sudden it gets trumped and I get a direct call. And I say direct call. I get a direct leading. Okay, Michael, normally that would be right. You're right. But I want you to do this for me today. I want you to do this for me. All right. And so you'll the seasons of your life, you'll see that over and over. And the reason why it's important for you to discern those things, because you can't let the devil condemn you if there is a season change. Because the enemy would love to tell you other things. And again, you know, just because we have a change, you know, I've been in youth ministry. I've done kids ministry. I've done a lot. I mean, you name it, I have done it. And so with that, I just know that there's always a season for everything. I mean, we know that from Ecclesiastes, right? And so it's important to realize that there are times in those seasons where God will say, you know, I know your ministry is to so-and-so, but I need you to do this for me right now. I need you to do this. And so it's important. And so that's what we're doing. And let me just say this. Nobody can tell you what season you're in, okay? When God is shifting things, you know, just listen to the Holy Spirit. That's all you have to worry about doing. All right. So back to this right here. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Because this goes along with your callings and ministries. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Now 6 become, you know, 10 comes right after 9. 9 is be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Okay, so be not weary in well-doing, doing well, in due season, you will reap. So let's put this in context in verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men. So we want to do good to all men, but look at that especially word. I like that especially word. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In other words, this is talking about your local body of Christ, your local body right here. Let me read that in the easy-to-read version, the ERV. It says, when we have the opportunity to do good to anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. So are you seeing that God has a purpose, and a kingdom purpose and a kingdom priority for your house? You know, there's times where you'll come to church and you'll see someone, and all of a sudden God will drop in your heart, ooh, and you'll know. You may not have any understanding of what exactly is going on, but you'll know they need something from Jesus today. Let me go pray for them. Let me go love on them. And you'll just your eyes can connect. I've heard people, they didn't come to church, but then they'll call during the week and say, I'm dealing with something. Did the Lord speak to you? Well, you know what? It's easier for the Lord to speak to me when I see you. You know what I'm saying? It's easier for me to get a something from the Holy Spirit when I'm looking straight at you. Now, there's plenty of times where the Holy Spirit, during my prayer time in the morning, I do my intercession in the morning when I pray for the church and all that. And so there's plenty of times where God will drop some of y'all in my spirit, and I'll pray for you and speak. God will give me a word to speak over you. I do that quite a bit. But at the same time, man, when I'm here and when you're here and I see you, my spirit connects with your spirit. And so there's a spiritual connect. Even the Bible, Paul talks about spiritual discernment. And so it's important so we can know things. All right. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. We all know this one. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, brethren, sister, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel. Now see, I want you to see that, because remember I said your ministry to people and your call to God. And so here Jesus is saying, for my sake, your call to God, and the gospel, ministry toward people. Does that make sense? And so there's our scripture on that. So it's very important that we recognize that, because again, God will trump us every now and then. Now, I'm not going to say he does that all the time. Now, let me just go back to the verse here on 29. A man has leave your house, your brethren, your sister, your father, your mother, wife, children. Now, when it comes to a minister leaving his wife, okay, this does not mean that he will go against agreement with his spouse. As a matter of fact, I've seen many ministers get out of agreement with their spouse, and they think that is obeying God. What I have found is that my Bible tells me that me and my wife are one. And so when God sees me, he sees us as a union. And so even, I'm going to be theoretical, okay? Keys has always been on board for everything that God has spoken in my heart that we're supposed to do. But let's just say, for example's sake, that one day she says, no, I don't want you to leave right now. It's not a very good time. Well, if she says that, I'm not going to push her, because once we get out of agreement, even the anointing becomes hindered in my life. You know, my anointing depends a lot on my union. People don't say that enough, I don't think, but it's very important. The anointing and the call of God can be hindered by my union. And it's typically not going to be my wife's fault. It's going to be my fault, because I got out of agreement. Even if, again, hypothetical, just in case she's listening, even if she is not hearing at the moment from the Lord, then what I need to do is say, Lord, okay, I hear you, but you'll need to talk to her, because God doesn't want me getting out. So that's not what it's talking about, leaving your wife to go do the gospel. What it's talking about is when I don't want to leave her, you know, and she's fine with it, but because I'll be honest with you, there is very few times where I get super, super excited about being away from the family when I go and do ministry. If it's overnight, not a big deal. If it's two nights, you know, thank God for FaceTime, you know, for I can call my kids on the phone. I don't like it, you know, and I've done a lot of ministry where I left Keza for periods of time, but since I've had the kids, I've not really gone, a week I think is the longest I've gone, and that's tough. I mean, for me, I love seeing my kids. I love waking them up, I like putting them to bed, I don't like being annoyed by them, but you know, that's, thank God for FaceTime, you can hang up the phone, amen? All right, so back to this, but look at verse 30, it says, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecution, that's the part we don't like, and the world to come, eternal life. And so again, we have a call to God and we have ministry toward people. Now let's all turn to Philippians chapter 2. want to kind of hit some things here in Philippians chapter 2, because we all have a grace. We all have God has a purpose for us. You know, when people dog you and cut you down, there's a verse I've been quoting this week, and it's really not a normal verse that people quote unless they are talking about abortion. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When's the last time that was a part of your morning confession? This week, you just had some crazy things happen, and that was the verse for me. Listen, when the enemy is attacking your purpose, when the enemy is attacking or even trying to confuse by other people, confuse your purpose and the reason why you exist on the earth. You see, the enemy would like to get you out of your purpose. But in being fearfully and wonderfully made, that word fearfully means carefully. I was created very precisely. Now, I hate to say this is precision. My belly fat is not precision. I lay all the blame to my Pepsis and all right. But what I'm saying is I was carefully, that word fearfully means carefully, precisely made. For what? For what? Well, right here, two purposes. Back what we've talked about just a minute ago. For a kingdom purpose, for a household purpose. See, you're a part of two households. You got the household of faith and you got your household. And God wants us to make sure that we're praying for both of those. All right, so Philippians chapter 2. I don't know why it took me a minute to find Philippians there. Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. So Paul's saying, listen, if you're thinking the way I'm thinking, if you're doing the vision that God's called you to do, then basically we're in one accord. We're doing the same thing. That's what he's talking about. If we're doing the same thing, it says here, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So we're talking about ministry here. Paul's talking about ministering to the saints. Who are the saints? The body of Christ. Again, it starts out with local body. You know, we have our local body, and that's a priority for God. So it says here, don't do anything out of selfish ambition, self-centered. It's one thing, and I think we do good. Nobody's ever called me prideful lately, but I think we do good pushing people forward and letting them be on the platform. You know, the greatest ministry is not platform ministry. It's whatever God's called you to do. It's whatever you can do for Jesus, to touch Jesus, or connecting people with Jesus. That is the greatest thing. You know, I know a lot of pulpit people that really can't connect people very well. I mean, they may teach something, it might be confusing, but again, it's all about what we can do to connect people with Jesus. All right, verse 4, let each of you look at not only at your own interests, but the interests of others. Now, I want you to see something in verse 3. Look at that word, better. Everyone say better. So it says, let each esteem others better than himself. That word better, and it's funny, this is my scripture, and I think it was yesterday, this was Rick Renner's sparkling gem of the day, and that. So I got a good definition. And the word better means hold one above, it means superior or better than another. So in other words, God, the Holy Spirit, through Paul is saying, we need to esteem other people better than ourselves, more superior than ourselves, hold them above. In other words, honor people more than we honor ourselves. I heard it this way, and I believe I'm going to adopt this. I'm going to take this. But we honor up, so we honor leaders. We honor down, we want to honor everyone, and we honor all around. Honor up, honor down, honor all around. See, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Jesus honored those who were considered lowly. He honored those who were considered highly. And he honored all those in between. Does that make sense? And so that's what we do as believers. Let's continue on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men. So now we're flipping that over in the esteeming others better than ourselves. It says, be like-minded. Like who? Like Jesus, because Jesus did the very same thing. He honored others better than he honored himself. He did for others. He washed people's feet. You know, I think about what Jesus, one of the things that Jesus did, I'm just going to tell you, okay? Y'all forgive me. But this is just how I've always thought. It's just one of those things that hit me years ago. You know, when Jesus was in heaven, how do I say this? He never pooped. You know what I'm saying? All right. So when he came to earth, he pooped. Okay, I'm a person who's never done that. Now he's in earth. Okay, have you ever realized, as proper as the Queen of England is, she does that. You know, and so she can act as proper as she wants to when she's out on, you know, in her, we drove by her, what's that called? Her Rolls. We were in England one time, and her Rolls was outside of this place we were at. But the bottom line is, you know, the old saying, you know, I put my pants on just like you, one leg at a time. Well, you know, I do just like you too, three sheets at a time. All right, there we go. Okay, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Okay, I was fixing to say I wasn't trying to paint a picture, but I am. And I think the picture is real vivid. So imagine, all right, let's get worse. How worse can you be? Okay, the Son of God had to spend 40 weeks in a uterus, swimming around. 40 weeks. The Son of God went from a throne in heaven to a uterus. And then all of a sudden, one day, one starry night, this would be my Christmas message right here, shouldn't it? One starry night, all of a sudden, the fluid was gone. And here he comes. He is headed out. That was good. You got to admit that was good. He was headed out. And all of a sudden, he is out. He's out there. His head's out. They're grabbing him. They're, you know, spanking or whatever they do back then to get the junk out of your lungs. And all of a sudden, he is naked. Son of God, naked. He's got, what do you call that? Cheese. He got cheese on him. You know, they call that, you know, that's what the nurses, the OB nurses call that stuff. And so, you know, they had to, before they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, you had to wipe him. You know what I'm saying? Wipe. What are you doing? Wiping the Son of the living God. That's what I'm doing. I'm wiping him. And then all this, you know, growing up, you know, change the Son of God's diaper. Okay, so what I'm saying is he did that for you. So we talk about taking on the form of a servant. Hey, none of y'all did that. You know, when's the last time you told your kids, okay, son, daughter, I just want to let you know how much I love you. I went back up with my mama. I get up with my mama, and I spent 40 weeks in a uterus just for you. And then I came out, and I'm swimming, and then, no, we done that, all right? We did that, but not for them. We do that for our kids. Our parents did all, you know what I'm saying? And so again, Jesus did a lot for us. Does that make sense? Okay, so we can serve others. We can serve others. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, then I'm going to close a little bit here. Close, yeah. So I want to make some coffee. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, I want to go to, let's start at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to minister to the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be as children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effectual working by which we every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. Let me read that verse 16 in the King James, for whom the whole body fitly joined together. Okay, fitly joined. Okay, everything fit. Well, the Roy City Police Chief's wife texted us one day. No, we met her in the Chinese place, Panda Express, and she said, "Hey," she said, "we're fixing to put 23,000 Legos in the attic. Instead of us storing it, y'all want them?" I'm like, "Yes, ma'am, we do." So we went over to their house and got us 23,000 Legos, and we were putting them together, man. And some of them we found they were so joined together you couldn't get them out. You couldn't get them apart. Some like breaking fingernails and all that stuff, and so fitly joined together, and then compacted by which every joint supplies. Okay, every joint supplies. In other words, in the body of Christ, and you think about members, because we use the word members right here. We, you know, these are members of our body. These, you know, this is a member. You know, so and so got dismembered. I got a friend of mine who got a leg blown off in Iraq, and a couple weeks ago was his anniversary of it, and so he posted it. Now he's an associate pastor up in the Dakotas somewhere, and so the last time he had the anniversary a couple weeks ago, he posted a video. So I didn't know what the video was. I thought, you know, Ross Cox. And so I clicked it, you know, and it was a bunch of soldiers kind of walking through what looked like a ditch, and all of a sudden there was a boom. I didn't realize that was his body cam videoing when he got his own leg blown, when he got leg blown off. I was like, whoa, that is for real right there. Anyway, so they called out a member. I got one of my members. I was dismembered. Y'all heard that term before, dismembered. Okay, well, all these members have joints, and all these, in order for it to work, the joints have to be functioning. Last night, me and Max were watching a documentary on Pearl Harbor. Yesterday was December 7th, and so they did a lot of documentary and talking about Franklin D. Roosevelt and how he had to wear the braces, and he wore them under his pants so people couldn't see him. And you know, when you had the braces, you can't bend your leg. He couldn't bend his legs. And that was the whole thing. He didn't have the strength because he had polio to keep his legs straight. So we needed something to keep his legs. And so without those joints working, it was a little difficult. There was some strain. It was hard on his body. But if the joints were working together, it'd be easy. It took him a long time to get ready every day to go out because he had to lay on a bed and someone had to place those braces on him. And then somebody else had to put on his pants. Imagine that. And so somebody had to do that for him. So it took a lot of time. You know, he could have been more effective had his joints been working and everything being strengthened. So I thought, you know, today I'm going to show you an example on how every member, every joint supplies. Because if a joint is not supplying something, then there's a member that's missing something. There's a need that's not getting met. Now I appreciate you let me borrow your mixer here, and we're going to take good care of it. But so here's what the goal is. The goal is get someone saved. Get them healed, get them delivered. Now, we can do that outside the church. Paul said some planted, some watered, and some reaped the harvest, okay? So it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. The Bible tells us that there are more comely parts. There are some parts that seem insignificant in the church, in the body of Christ, but everything has significance, okay? So the end result, somebody gave me that years ago. It says pastor on there, pastor, servant, leader. I like that. All right. The end result is a cup of coffee. But if nobody got the beans, now we're going to have good beans tonight. I made refried beans for tonight. And so, just in the thought of beans. So, if nobody brings the beans, we're out. So real simple. You just get the beans, and it smells real good. That smells real good. That's the got the Pike's Place right there. Now I'm not giving them a plug. They didn't have many beans at Walmart. They don't have. I mean, they're like two different brands. And so, all right. So let's just, you know what? Let's just skip that. We don't need, because the grinder's not here. They're not at church today. You see that? They're not at church. They didn't make it. All right, now, if I were to just pour these beans into there, how good a coffee is it going to be? It's just, okay, all right. So let's just say they got here. They got here. All right, so, all right. Thank you. It's been a long time. All right. This is a process. I don't like processes. I like instant. I like things to be happening a little faster. I actually don't buy beans. I actually buy already ground coffee because I don't have time. You know, I just don't, you know, it's better this way, But if somebody wants to come over and do that for me, I'd be happy to give you a key to the house. Actually, I'll tell you the code to the garage and tell you where the key's at. Well, there's a process. And it seems like you can push this button and go for a long time and you just don't get no results. Am I just pushing a button on a coffee grinder every single Sunday? Well, yes, that is what you're doing. But if you don't do that, you're not going to get the results you need. Okay, pretend like that's not in there just yet. All right, so we're good to go. And now I have this, but let's just pretend like this is late. They're late today. And well, man, if I just pour it straight into there, number one, I'm going to make a mess because those grinds are going to get caught up in there and all that kind of stuff. And so now this is so stinking insignificant as far as what it is and how much it costs. I mean, I got the whole thing over there, like $1.50 for 50 of them. So minuscule, so nothing. But this filter, I got to have this filter. This filter has to be in this coffee maker. So we'll go ahead and do that. All right, let's go ahead and just dump it just straight in there. All right, good deal. All right, dump it in. I didn't grind a whole lot. Some people, they if they'd have stayed longer in the Word, maybe they'd have heard it. But that's okay because they'll come back. Because this is not really, you can't really see it. So, you can. All right, and so there we go. Put a little bit in there. So, if I wanted it to be a little stronger, I could grind it a little bit longer. And so, every Sunday people come and, maybe they don't listen the whole time. Maybe they're daydreaming. So hopefully they come back so they can get some more. Does that make sense? And so they can be in the grinder a little longer. Maybe they can be in the grinder. Or maybe they just came because somebody made them or invited them. When's the last time you invited somebody? So somebody invited them, they just came, so I didn't stay in the grinder very long. So it's not super fine ground, you know what I mean? And so, all right. So is that it? Okay. What do I need? Water. Oh, I need water. You know what? Somebody had to bring the water. You are water to someone. The Bible tells us that the Word washes like water. So far this whole process, somebody had to be the grinder. Somebody had to bring the coffee. Somebody had to do the grinding. And then somebody had to bring so minuscule a filter. What are you in the body of Christ? I'm a paper coffee filter. What are you? it seems so insignificant, but when you really see the big picture, no, it's not. It's a part. Because what's the goal? The goal is a cup of coffee. The goal is someone being healed, getting born again, starting a new life, being delivered. That's what the goal is. And every one of these pieces. So we'll go ahead and we'll get the water bottle in there. We'll dump the water. You undid the water bottle? Okay, good, because it didn't pop. I was like, somebody spit it in there? All right. You never know. It's one of these things. Keys and I were youth pastors, and one of the things I remember about teenagers, they take one drink and then leave it. And that is annoying. All right, good deal there. Now, are we plugged in? Now, see, we're plugged in. Thank God. But again, you know what? Sometimes you just need someone to help you get plugged in. And again, we can have all the pieces in motion, but if we're not plugged in, I'm just there because my mom makes me go to church. My mama did too, and guess what? I'm doing a lot of stuff for Jesus. And that's just bottom line. All right, good deal. And so real simple stuff, and we just turn it on. A lot of times, folk don't get turned on to the gospel the first time they come to church. A lot of times when you're witnessing to folk, they don't get turned on. And so it takes time. Sometimes the hardest thing is to get someone turned on. But you know what? You don't stop trying. All right. Now see, I'm going to go ahead and do that one because that means it's going to make it stronger. And so I don't like girl coffee. I like man. I'm just kidding. I want Joel to punch me before church is over. All right. Because I know what kind of coffee Joel likes. Y'all complained to me when we had the financial peace thing about how hard my coffee. Now here's the aggravating part. I don't know what's fixing to come out necessarily. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? I mean, you don't know. And it takes a while before you see the results. But you did your part. You did your part. Someone each did a part. Somebody brought this. The Dubrys brought this right here. Okay, Walmart had that right there. This I stole from kids' church this morning. This I got blessed with years ago, and I keep it up here. And this I took from my house. And the car. So again, every piece is supplied by somebody. You see, every joint supply. It says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, the whole cup of coffee, the whole new believer, baby Christian. You know, before someone is born again, what we have to do is we need to reach the lost, save the lost. And then when someone gets born again, then we have to, listen to this, grow the found. You're either lost or you're found. So one person, it's great. It's great that we can save the lost. We could save the lost. But now, are we coming out yet? My gosh, this thing really is slow. But slow growth is good growth. And maybe you don't see someone raising their arms and praising the Lord just yet. Maybe they don't bring their Bible, you know, something like that. We got our phone, so we're good. You know what I'm saying? And so maybe they just don't, you know, maybe they're daydreamed or zoned out. Now you'll notice me, I don't give attention to anyone who is sleeping. I won't try to annoy them, wake them up, or ridicule them, because I would rather you sleep at church on Sunday morning than sleep at home. That sounds a little weird, but we've had people that were police officers that came that worked the night shift, and they, keys that worked night shift on Sunday night and had to work, Saturday night and had to work on Sunday night, came, did praise and worship, spent the whole time at church, went home, slept for a few hours, and so, you know, she dozed off, which I don't remember if she did or didn't. She had a triple shot of something at Starbucks, and that triple shot must have, yeah, her heart's like, you know. But see, we're not even close just yet. We're not even, and so I'm still waiting. So again, it's the patience. Well, you know, I invited so-and-so to church, and you know what? It takes a while sometimes. It takes a while. But when everyone is working together and everyone is doing something, I just brought water bottle, that's all I did. I just brought a water bottle. Yeah, but that's significant. I can't have coffee without the water. Well, I'm just grinding coffee today. You pour some beans in me, I'm gonna grind it. That's what I'm gonna do. I can't get coffee without these beans being ground up. Oh, thank God someone brought the coffee. There's no insignificant part about this whole process of making a new believer. Now, I'm gonna go ahead and I like to get it out before. Oh, that looks good right there. All right, let's just check it out. Let me go ahead and kill that so I don't burn it all up there. Oh, it smells good. Y'all can smell it, can't you? Yeah, that aroma. All right. Oh, yeah. Now, see, I've been born again, which means I drink it black. Now, see, what I mean by that is maybe a new believer. Ooh, Pastor, that's just really strong. Okay, I got it. It's too strong. Then what do I need to do? Listen. This is probably somewhere around 4 tablespoons of coffee that I put in there. Okay, this is really good for 4 tablespoons. But maybe you can't drink it like I can drink it. Or maybe you just don't enjoy it that way. What do you do? What do you do? Huh? Cream and sugar, or you can do that. Milk. How about pour some more water in it? Water it down. Okay, everybody say water it down. Okay, so we water it down. Now how many tablespoons of stuff is in there? 4. So what? We said 4. All right. We can water it down, and I can put 3 more bottles of water in there. And it'll make this maybe come up to somewhere between the 4 and the 6 on the coffee pot, right? But it's the same amount of coffee. Is that correct? All right. So in watering it down, am I making the coffee grounds different, or am I just making it more palatable for someone to drink? Do you see that? Well, I don't like that preacher because he waters down the gospel. Yeah, he waters it down. He doesn't change it. And so it's the same gospel. It's the same thing. Well, you know, I think y'all just drink it straight black. Well, I do too. What's your problem? Why you got to water it down for those people? You know what? Because I can't drink it black like you and I can. But you know what? When I watered coffee down for somebody else, I can still drink it. I get the same caffeine. I got to drink more coffee. I got to drink a whole lot more to get the same amount of caffeine. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Today, very simply, my point is only this. Every one of us have a significant part to play in saving the lost. And then when this is made, sometimes we have to grow the found. How do you grow the found? Well, you might need to add some water. You might have to put some cream in there. You know, Keys, when we go to hotels and I make her coffee, I'll go down to the foyer and get the coffee. I mean, I put pump after pegging the pump stuff, you know. I mean, it's like, it smells like it smells like a birthday cake donut cinnamon roll. Tastes like it too. And you can't smell the coffee. What am I saying today? You are significant. even if you're something as simple as a paper thin coffee filter. Everyone does its part, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Let's stand.